4, CPA Mobile.
What's up, Nate?
Gerald TR.
For Tom, what are you getting into?
That's top secret. Can't really divulge that information. Oh, I'm just sitting here messing with the laptop. Bernice is fixing a Costco rotary chicken over there for dinner tonight. Just heard you come on.
Rotary chicken. Well, I had some dead cow mixed up with some sauce. They call it spaghetti sauce, and of course the noodles and all that. It was the very good.
Yesterday we had a real nice meal. We had went down there to watch the grandson fly down there at a place in Woodruff after he graduated his school, and he got a ride, and we went to a meat market there in Woodruff, and oh, it's really nice, and the people are really excellent. So I saw some Wagyu, American Wagyu steaks that had been marked down, and they only had one day left before they were over the date code. And that's when to get them, boy. I mean, to tell you, they're nice. And they looked really great. They were prime, and they'd been $30 a pound, and they were thin, you know, maybe half inch or maybe a little more. And just right for me and Bernice. And I told Mom, I said, let's just pick those things up. And we did, and it was only $15 for two filet mignons. Oh, only $10, you say, Bernice? And they'd been $30 a pound. Why do you usually hear the Japanese ones? And, oh, a roast would cost you several hundred dollars. But these are American Wagyu steers, so they know the heritage of them for many, many years. And, I'm telling you, Dave, you cut them with your fork. It was really enjoyable.
Say, I love a good filet. You know, you just about can't find one anymore unless you go somewhere like Rick Irwin's or something. But if you got them for that price, you stole them. In fact, I believe you must have a gun trained on them or something, and forced them to sell them to you for $10 a piece.
There was only one package of two there, maybe one other package. But like I say, the date code was there. But I worked in the meat market at our grocery store back in Kansas for quite a few years, and when I was a teenager. And we'd always take the meat that was slightly aged, and it was excellent. And that's what I thought. We stole those things. But guys, they got one everything down there, and their meat market's fantastic. So I think we'll take a ride back down there one of these days just for the fun of going out for a ride. It's south of that jockey lot on 101. And as you're going into Woodruff, the road's 101 splits in a T, and you just turn to the left about a block and a half on the right side. Junction of 101 and 221, Bernie said. I know it's a long ways to go, but we were down there anyways. And, man, I never seen so many varieties of things. They even had a fresh fish market in the back. And you walk in through these sliding doors, and you can pick out fresh fish of every kind you can ever dream of. And then they had exotics in one meat case, like ostrich and kangaroo. And the one that was funniest to me, and I don't know what it was or what it means, something about a denudered elk meat or something like that. That's getting kind of personal. But I don't, it looked just like regular elk meat, you know. But that stuff was pretty expensive, and I wasn't interested in it. We had a good time talking to the people in the store and shopping there. It's just like an old-timey grocery store.
It sounds like it. The last time I was at, it's the 221-101 with a motorcycle. So, it's been a long time ago. Had a V-twin back then, 1100. It's interesting. I'm never down that well. I have to check it out.
I just work, you know, just put the wife in the car and go for a fun drive. It's, I think from our house it was 31 miles, but it sure didn't seem like it. Country Meat Center, Bernice says, is what it is. And she had seen it advertised. Where'd you see that at? Someplace on TV. And they're sure nice people. I'll tell you, it's just worth that. Go down there and visit with the cashiers and that. But you know me. But they do have a nice selection of meat there. And I think they'd cut you anything you wanted. And then they got a small grocery store in there, too. But like I said, it's real easy to find when you get to that T in the road there on 101. You just go about a block and a half to the left if you're headed south. And it's on the right side of the road, just past McDonald's, I guess you'd say. Only McDonald's is on the opposite side.
This is a 4CBA. Golly day, somebody wants to know. Well, then the receiver. I know this is a grand area. So we are now moving.
No joy, Dave, on the last transmission. I'll wait till you get out of that hole down there. But you are not copyable, hardly at all. This is NJRL TR.
Well, the next traffic light I come to, I get my reading glasses out. And look at this radio and see how to turn the power up on it a little bit.
You don't do it while I'm driving. I have done it at intersections on a long red light, but I know about where it's at now. But as a general rule, I just do not look down at the radio while I'm driving. I wait till I can pull in and stop. You know, I was hearing today on TV, they said these people that are texting while they're driving is the same as having four beers before they drove.
You gotta be kidding. Is this any better?
Yes, sir. You're doing fine now, Dick.
So what were they doing that, was this like having four beers, before they get on the road?
Yes, sir. That's, it was a police show, live PD, and, they said that, this officer was video recording this lady, and I forget how long she'd been texting on the phone with a child in the car. He finally stopped her, and of course she tried to lie out of it, but he had the video. But they said it was the same if you were texting and driving as drinking four beers before you drove.
You can tell a lot of people that are texting because they go really slow. They're driving real slowly and they're, you know, swerving all over the lane. A lot of times they swerve over into the other lane, and it's just, I mean, it's just a mess. lady, I think I told you about this, on the highway. I think it was 26, and we were, we were running about, I guess, 74 miles an hour, and this lady was in a pickup truck, and she was just all over the road, and we finally got around her. It took us forever. And when we got beside her, my wife looked over, and she was reading a book. It was on her steering wheel.
You mean that, where people were reading a newspaper or a book or something like that, and they must have a death wish, you know? It's just crazy, Dave. I think they should inhibit texting while you're driving, unless you're doing it with audio, and you can do that. You know, you can, if you got it built into the car, it comes up, you can just speak to it. But I've never done that either. But you can. I just, if Amy texts us or something as we're headed down to her house, I just hand the phone over to Bernice. And she knows how to do it now, and so she takes care of it. But I absolutely, positively will not. And it's just crazy. But anyways, we had a good time down there. And I wish that guy would have took me up for a ride. It was a two-man, it looked like an experimental aircraft. And he said, I'd be glad to take you up, Tom. But he said, this wind is too iffy today. And they don't like winds over 20 miles an hour at the very most. And I'd rather not be up there if it's over about 10 or 15, to be honest with you, Dave.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. It's just, I don't like flying. This is not my favorite thing to do. If I were at the controls, I might feel a little bit better.
And they used in Africa for National Geographic. And the photographer actually sat in the front of the aircraft, and the pilot sits behind you. And it flies really low and slow, and it's got a huge airfoil on it. In other words, the wing, the surface area of it's really, really big. But you're sitting there right out in the open in an open cockpit. But I noticed that it was all glass cockpit. It wasn't steam gauges like the old days. And I was very surprised that it was a digital glass cockpit.
It's rather interesting. I guess the smallest plane I've flown in is a little 35-seater turboprop. I think it was Delta, something another. And flew up to, we had to make a connecting flight somewhere, but we got on the same kind of plane. It didn't make a lot of sense. But anyway, and then we flew up to Elkhart, Indiana, which is almost right there at, I forgot which one of the Great Lakes, but anyway, whichever one borders Indiana, and then we drove a couple of ambulances home, thank goodness, but that's where the customizer was, McCoy Miller, at the time, and we bought two from them. And so, those things, gosh, it's been years ago, those things flat out as fast as you could go. I'd have the gas on the floor. Of course, it was a diesel. It would do 85 miles an hour. That was it.
A vehicle like that, that'd be fast enough, I think. This is NZ0TR. Well, I've been up there, and they're smaller than the ultralights. And the ultralights fly over here pretty often. And it's really neat to see them, and you've got open cockpits on them. But it's like riding in a rocking chair with those paragliders or just a big parachute. But most of your general aviation pilots say they wouldn't go in them on a bed. I enjoyed it. I got some pictures that I took up in Columbus, Kansas, flying in one that had two seats. But there's a museum down there, and they have several really unique older aircraft. And it's a private airfield, but you can go down there and park and walk around and look at it, you know. And I don't think they'd say anything to you. And then watch them take off and land down there. It's a grass field. But boy, I'm telling you, is it well kept. It's a beauty of a field. And the grandson went to a school down there, a summer camp. And he enjoyed it. And there was, I don't know, maybe 15 students in the class. But there's every kind of RC control model under the sun hanging on the wall. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. Then they got some bigger ones that they probably got chainsaw engines in them. And I mean, like the F4U Corsair, like Babab Black Sheep. They got two of those up there. They got a P-38. Now, these are RCs. But they got a lot of several, I don't know, 8 or 10 planes in the hangar. I'm just guessing the number. And they're biplanes and older era stuff that has been restored to perfection. And it's really enjoyable to look at. I like the radial engines because I flew off a carrier and we had radial engines in those. And they really take a lot of upkeep. Radial engines are a maintenance nightmare, to be honest with you. I noticed one of them had a drain on it, and where the oil leaked out, it went down into a gallon jug.
Call an oil leak. That kind of reminds me of you ever watch can't remember the name of it. Something Garage. No, that's not it. I think it's called Roadkill. But they'll go to a junkyard and pick out a car they like and try to get it running, and they'll drive it, on a trip, and it's just something else to watch. They're having to stop and the stuff that they do to it just to keep it keep it on the road. It's really funny. I just love watching these two guys because they got stuff rigged up. And when you mention that gallon jug, they'd have something rigged up for the gas tank, and because they couldn't use the gas tank that was in it because it had bad gas in it, and just all kinds of stuff. It was unreal.
It's short because Bernie says she's about ready. My first truck was $50, and it was a 53 Chevrolet. It was a 216 cubic inch Babbitt beater and Babbitt inserts in it instead of brass. And I bought it from a Holstein cattle farmer, a dairy farmer, over at Lamar, Missouri. And Charlie said, Tom, he said, you bring a 5-gallon can, we'll fill it up with water. And all the way home from Lamar, Missouri, about 30 miles, I'd have to stop and refill that radiator because the water pump on it was bad. And when I got home, I put a new water pump on it. But I drove that truck for 13 years, Dave. And I painted it once a year with Gibson's Best Porch and Deck Enamel. And the guys at work said that was the only thing holding that truck together. But I sold it for $150 after 13 years. It was a good truck. Anyway, Dave, I got to run. Bernie says supper on, and I'll catch you down the line. Nice talking to you. KB4CBA and 0GR73s. Have a good evening.
All right, well, you have a good one, and tell Bernice hello, and I'll talk to you later. I'm going to go out here and hit this little yellow ball. We'll talk to you later. 73's in 0GRKB4CBA, clear.
Hello, David, W2T Mobile.
And what are you up to, Rusty?
Well, I'm headed out to, I got to go make a stop, pick up something to drink, and then head for rehearsal. And since I'm the guy taking the attendance and everything, I need to get there a little early so I can check everybody in and make sure we're good to go on things. You know how that gets to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, are you going to give them a name tag, or are you just going to you just gonna check them off the list?
Well, everybody has their own name tags. We issue one to every new member of the chapter, and it has their name tag and what chapter they belong to, as their name art, what chapter they belong to, and what part they sing. So, you know, that's what's on our badges, and everybody has one, whether they all wear them or not. But I know everybody that's in the chorus, so I can check people in.
Well, there you go. Well, that's good. That was, yeah, that was one thing I got if I went to a church and, you know, I was trying to get the names of the people in the choir. I'd get them to wear name tags for about 2 or 3 weeks, and, you know, so I could learn their name. I said, you know, you've only got one person's name to remember. I said, I've got, you know, 30 or so, whatever. And, you know, I said, I'll do the best I can, but if I don't call you by name, that means I don't know it, so you'll need to tell me again. I had a time learning names sometime.
At our church, we have name tags for everybody, and when visitors come in, we find out their name and get their information and give them a temporary tag, and then if they join the church, we set up a regular tag, regular name badge for them to wear, and of course, I can't wear mine because it's kind of hard to put mine on and then for it to be seen because I'm wearing a choir robe. Either when I'm playing handbells or when I'm singing in the choir, we're always wearing a robe, and there's no way to wear the name badge on top of the robe. So, oh well, but most everybody knows me. I think after I've been going to the same church for 48 years, people have a clue as to what my name is. And I'll W2T Mobile. Go ahead, David.
After 48 years, if they don't know your name by now, then they ain't never going to know it. Oh, me. I can't say I've never been at a church that long. But anywho, well, I'm at the sports club here, and I'm sitting in the parking lot. I got a 6 o'clock game, and so I guess I better mosey on in there. I still have a few things I need to do out here, and I got to change my shoes and get everything ready to take in, and then I'll have to you have to check in, tell them what court you're on, tell them who you're playing with, and all that shenanigans. And they put up a fence in there unless you want to climb this fence, which is I'd say eight plus feet tall, and it don't look like it'd be too much fun to climb, so there's only one way to get on the court, and that's go through the building.
Well, maybe you might want to wander inside. Well, how'd your session this morning go? I mean, did you win, lose, or draw?
Kind of both. I mean, I lost the first set with the guy I was playing. Then we switched partners. We spin our rackets and see, you know, who plays with who the next time around. And and I got a different partner, so, and we played really well. We had them 3-0, and then we just let them win the fourth one because the guy had to go, and that I was playing with, he had to go to another court. He had another match, so we just sort of gave it to them. But, I mean, they were doing okay. They were struggling a little bit. But anyway, it was fun. And got a lot of good exercise. And it's going to be a little toasty out there now. Boy, I was trying to talk the guy into playing at 7:30, but he wanted to play at 6. So I said, okay. So we'll see how long I last.
It's not the temperature it was yesterday at this, or Saturday at this time of day. Because, I mean, it's down to 84 out there right now. Of course, it'll be a little bit warmer on that clay court, even though that's clay. I guess that's clay you're playing on. It'll be still warmer there, on there, because that clay gets hot and it stays that way for a while. Anyway, and it sounds like it's getting close. You need to start wandering on inside. So I'll go ahead and say 7-3s, and I'll catch up to you later, David. KB4CBA, W2T Mobile.
I see. Well, you have a good evening and at church, and we will talk to you later. 73s, be careful out there. W2T, KB4CBA, clear.
Okay, just as a clarification, it's barbershop night. Church night's not to Wednesday night, but we're not rehearsing during the summer. Talk to you later, W2T clear.